हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तं पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सर्वेषां सुप्रभातम्। कीदृशम् आत्मतत्त्वम्, कीदृशम् आत्मतत्त्वम् इति उच्यते। वाट् इस् द नेचर् आफ् the reality implied by the term Atma. We'll just read all the verses once. Come to this. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ। ॐ ईशावास्यम् इदगुं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा कृधः कस्य सुद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगुं समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे। असुर्यानामते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसावृताः तांस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अनेजदेकम् अनेजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वादधाति अनेजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वादधाति। What's the actual meaning we saw yesterday? Anejate, anejamanaha. Atma is, Atma does not know. Ekam, Atma is one. Atma is faster than the mind. Even sense organs do not reach the Atma. It seems as though when all of them are running, Atma overtakes all of them. Dhavataha tan atyeti. Remaining in one place without moving, still Atma overtakes everything. Which means Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Atma need not reach anywhere. Atma is already there. And it is the Hiranyagarbha who delegates, who ordains all activities of all devatas. And even Hiranyagarbha does everything, enjoys its existence in the Atma. This is what we saw in this little mini Lisa. We are going to see the Bhashya. Anejat. Anejat means the nyang tatpusha samasaha is na ejat. Na ejat. Ejat means what? Move. Moving. Na ejat, Atma is not moving. As I explained already, Atma is of the nature of actionlessness, motionlessness, changelessness. Okay, so here Yajru Kampane. So Shankaracharya gives the root of the verb age, ajat. The verb ajat is verb. What is the root of that verb? Ajru. Ajru means what? Kampane. Kampane means moving, shaking. That's the meaning. And he himself gives many meanings. Kampanam, chalanam. So kampanam, chalanam. Chalanam means movement. Kampanam means movement, shaking. Isn't it? Movement. Two nouns he gives as meanings. Kampanam, chalanam. Moving, movement, shaking. And it also means trembling, shaking, moving. It's all the means. But what is chalanam? What does... So when you say Atma doesn't move, Atma is of the nature of motionlessness. When you say, Shankaracharya gives a beautiful definition. Sva, say no? Sva, avastha, prachut. Sva avastha aprachyutihi. See, sva avastha aprachyutihi. Sva avastha aprachyutihi. Or sva avastha prachyutihi. See, chalanam means sva avastha prachyutihi. I want to know the definition. He himself tells, yejat means chalanam, kampanam. Kampanam means moving. Simple, we are understood. Please go ahead, you may say, but I have committed to do bhashyam. What is the bhashyam here? Sva avastha prachyutihi. Sva avastha prachyutihi. Can you believe? Thoroughly thought definition. Moving means what? In this context. Sva avastha prachyutihi. Chutihi means slipping away. Straining away, slipping away is called chutihi. Prachyutihi. So sva avastha prachyutihi means moving away, straining away from its nature is called what? Sva avastha, from its natural condition, natural state. Is called sva avastha prachyutihi. But tad varjitam, the Atma is devoid of that. Sva avastha prachyutihi is equal to kampanam ejat charanam. Moving away, straying away, slipping away from one's nature is what? Sva avastha prachyutihi. Tad varjitam is what Atma is devoid of that. What does it mean? Atma does aprachyutihi, isn't it? Na prachyutihi, aprachyutihi. Atma does not stray away, slip away, move away from its original nature. So what does it mean? Atma is always of the nature of knowing. Never does Atma become inert. Okay? Atma is always of the nature of timelessness. Never does Atma become time bound. Atma is always of the nature of all pervasiveness. Never does Atma become spatially limited. There is no shrinking. Understand? There is no more change. So, that which does not stray away, slip away from its real nature. Okay. Atma never becomes, Atma is ever free, never becomes a samsari. This is called what? Aprachyutihi, not straying away from its sthitihi. Is it clear now? So what Shankara says, beautifully he says, first he gives the meaning chalanam. Chalanam means ejat, means chalanam, moving. Anejat means achalaha. What does it mean by immobile, unmoving means what? In that which does not stray away from its real nature. Okay. Tadvarjitam sarvada ekarupam ityartha sarvada ekarupam. Or when I say, you must understand the meaning sarvada ekarupam. Always Atma is of the same nature of knowing. Atma Swarupam never changes. Okay? The nature is eternally permanent. Sarvada ekarupam, always of the same nature, one nature. Then tacha ekam. Now he has finished commenting on the word ejat, anejat. First word is anejat, is the nature of the Atma. Next word is what? Ekam. After this class, you must, Isha also must be in your mind, okay? You shouldn't go anywhere. Ekam. Tatcha ekam. And that Atma, Tat Atma Tattvam, that Atma Tattvam, which is always of one nature, which never stray away from its real nature, remains the same always. That Atma, how many Atmas are there? One. Ekam. Ekam means what? Yesterday we were discussing. He gives the meaning sarvabhuteshu.
Sarvabhuteshu.
Ekam sarvabhuteshu.
Ekam sarvabhuteshu.
That Atma is one, even though so many beings are there. Sarvabhuteshu, in all the beings, Atma is one. Okay? Which means what? The knower obtaining in every mind is one, the only Atma. Knower is Atma, the only knower. Okay? The knower obtaining in every mind is what? The knower obtaining in every mind, as the truth of I, the man, knowledge in every mind is actually one and the same Atma. ஏகம் சர்வபூதேஷு ஏகம் ஆத்மதத்துவம். ஏகம் ஆத்மதத்துவம், ஏகஹ ஆத்மா. Now, when the ஏகம் comes, I wanted to say one more thing here. One means what? One indivisible, partless, undivided, indivisible, partless whole. One ஏகம் means what? One indivisible, undivided, partless whole. For which actual meaning is சஜாத்திய விஜாத்திய ஸ்வகத பேத ரஹிதம். சஜாத்திய விஜாத்திய ஸ்வகத பேத ரஹிதம். ஆத்மா இஸ் ஒன் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ஒன் மீன்ஸ் இட்ஸ் இன்டிவிசிபிள், அன்டிவைடட், பார்ட்லெஸ் ஹோல், விச் மீன்ஸ் இட் இஸ் ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் ஆல் டிஃபரன்சஸ், ஆல் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் டிஃபரன்சஸ். One means what? Secondless. Secondless means what? Non-dual. One secondless, non-dual reality, Atma. You're not simply saying one. One means, you should say secondless, non-dual reality. There's no parallel second reality consciousness. So, Atma is one. It's secondless. And even though matter is there, matter is non-countable, they are not two. The two orders of the only reality, therefore non-dual, advaitam, ekam, advitiyam, advaitam, ekam, advitiyam, advaitam, one secondless, non-dual, is Atma, reality. Then what does it mean? It is free from all differences. Let us take first Vijatiya Bhedaha. Atma is free from Vijatiya Bhedaha. Jatihi means species. Vijatihi means the different species. Living beings, non-living things, two different species. Among the living beings, animals, human beings, plants. Sthavara Jangama. Isn't it? That's difference. The difference between human beings and animals. Difference between animals and plants and human beings. Called Vijatiya Bheda. Again, within human beings, there is Vijatiya Bheda. Isn't it? Africans, Indians, Asians, Vijatiya Bheda. And within the plants, you can see this is palm tree, coconut tree, this tree, all of them are trees. But one tree is different from another tree. How palm tree or coconut tree is different from sapodilla tree. That other tree is different from another tree. All are different trees. It's called, isn't it? Like that. So, the differences are the Vijatiya Bhedaha means. Now, animals are different from plants. Plants are different from non-living things also. Like this is difference between species. Difference in species, with reference to species, called Vijatiya Bhedaha, different jati. These are different species. Now, if you take one species, within one species there is difference. All of them are trees, but one is mango tree, one is coconut tree, one is neem tree, like that. Among the animals, all animals are different from plants and human beings, but among the animals, lion is different from tiger, tiger is different from elephant, elephant is different from deer, animals. So within the one species, there is difference. It's called Sajatiya Bhedaha. Difference between two different species is Vijatiya Bhedaha. Difference within one species of beings is a what? Sajatiya Bhedaha. Now, Swagata Bhedaha. Every individual being, whether an animal or a plant or a human being, every individual has what now? The differences on the part of every individual. Head is different from hands. Hands are different from legs. Legs are different from thighs. Shanks are different. Feet are different. isn't it? Within one individual, so there are so many differences. Head is not the hands. Hands are not the head. Hands are not any other part. Within a tree, if you take, the branch is different from trunk. Trunk is different from roots. Leaves are different from branches. It's called swagata bhedaha. Swagata bhedaha. Vijatiya bhedaha. Sajatiya bhedaha. Is it clear now? Like, these are the possible differences found on the part of the anatma. Anything which is part of anatma, the objective universe, other than atma, everything in the world is subject to these threefold differences. The sajatiya bheda is there. If we take ourselves, we are different from all other non-living things and animals and plants. We have vijatiya bheda, subject to vijatiya bheda. The sajatiya bheda and swagata bheda. Body, minds and complex, everything is what now? Everything in this universe subject to threefold differences. Sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, bheda, yuktaha. Whereas atma is free from sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, bheda. Swagata, bheda, rahitam, atmatattvam. Why? Atma is only one. This second atma. Other than atma, nothing is here. For already Isha Vasyam, remember, don't forget that. The whole cosmos has been negated as mithya, resolved in atma, cognitively, intellectually resolved in atma. Like entire ocean is water, the whole jagat is atma. So already intellectually resolved the world in atma. Isn't it? Negate that is mithya. Therefore, atma is only one. There is a second atma. Therefore, sajatiya bheda is not there. There is nothing other than atma. Therefore, vijatiya bheda is not there. Atma is one. It is of the nature of formlessness. Therefore, atma is free from swagata bheda also. Is it clear? Therefore, ekam means what? Sarva bhuteshu ekam sajatiya vijatiya swagata bheda rahitam atmatattvam. Next word, manasaha sankalpani lakshanad javiyah javavattaram. Okay, now manasaha sankalpadi lakshanat. Mind, what is this mind? Mind is of the nature of entertaining thoughts. No? Sankalpa, etc. Mind is varieties of thoughts constitute the mind. And what does the mind do? The thoughts rise, thoughts serve as manifesting medium for consciousness. And once the thoughts rise, there is manifestation of consciousness. The thoughts are not there, consciousness is simply there. When the thoughts rise, there is manifestation of consciousness. Thoughts become conscious thoughts. Conscious thoughts through the sense organs, you know, go out, pervade the objects and pervade the objects. And illumination of the objects takes place. Which means, wherever the thoughts go, there already consciousness is there. Therefore, thoughts can illumine the objects. So, without the blessing of consciousness, mind by itself, thoughts by themselves, independently, are incapable of illumining. Mind has the capacity to illumine, no desire, isn't it? Desire, mind has the capacity to function because of the manifestation of consciousness in the mind. Okay? Therefore, what he says, manasaha sankalpadi lakshanat, and mind, because thoughts move, mind move, mind is very fast. Atma is what? Javiyaha. Atma is faster than the mind. Javavattaram. See, I want you to understand this word. Javaha means speed. Javaha means what? Speed. And javiyas means fast. Javiyan means what? Javiyaha. Faster. In master gender, javiyan javishtaha. Ratma is faster than the mind. He stops there. Javavat means Atma has more speed. Javavat taram. Mind has speed. Mind is javavat. But Atma tattvam as javavat taram. Atma has more speed. Atma is faster. So here the question comes. Shankaracharya himself raised the question. Look at this. Katham, he stops only, he is not at mood to know the next word. You come to the third word here, isn't it? Anejate ekam. Third word is what? Manasaha javiyaha. Javiyas. Atmatattvam javiyas. Atmatattvam is faster than the Atma. Then he stops. The question comes. Why the question comes after that? Just now you said Atma is what now? Sva avastha prachyuti rahitam. Doesn't stray away, move away, unmoving, you said. Now you say Atma is faster than mind. So contradiction. Isn't this a contradiction? Unmoving, motionlessness, all that you said. Now you say Atma is faster than mind. It means Atma must be moving. Then the question comes. Katham. Katham means how. Katham. Katham. Viruddham uchyate. Viruddham uchyate. Something contradictory is said here. How is this? Something contradictory is said. Viruddham uchyate. Dhruvam. Nischalam. See, so many words Shankaracharya uses to say anejat, dhruvam, nischalam, all he said, isn't it? Idam manasaha javiyaha iti. How can you say this dhruvam, atma which is of the nature of firmness, dhruvam, atma tattva is always firm, and nischalam, no, it is unmoving. How is it said to be faster than the mind? It moves faster than the mind. How is it said? Shankaracharya says, he himself asks the question. Okay? Like a Pura Pakshi asks. How do you say this? How is it interpreted like this? Naisha doshaha. Naisha doshaha. No, there is no, it is not wrong. There is no error in saying that. Why? Because Atmanaha Rupadvayavatvat. Atma has Rupadvayam. Rupadvayam? What is Rupadvayam? Atma has two forms? No, listen to me. Nirupadhi. Upadhimatvena. Upapattehe. It is possible for unmoving Atma to be seemingly moving. It is possible for Atma, which is of the nature of motionlessness, to be seemingly moving. It is upapattihi means tenable, possible. Why? Nirupadi upadhi matvat. From the standpoint of nirupadhika atma, if you look at atma without the upadhi, atma is of the nature of motionlessness. But atma with the upadhi seemingly moves. Okay? He explains. Tatra nirupadhikena svena rupena uchyate anejat ekam giti. Stops there. Okay, there's no full stop, nothing. Bhashyam. We have to correctly put it. Nirupadhikena svena rupena uchyate anejat ekam iti. Nirupadhika drishtya, the standpoint of atma without the upadhis, it is said atma is essentially of the nature of motionlessness. Atma is unmoving, it is one. Atma is one. With nirupadhika drishya, atma is definitely one. See, now just cognitively, you can't physically do it. Cognitively remove the waveforms. Cognitively remove the ocean form. Remove all the forms intellectually. How many waters are there? But now add all the forms, wave forms to the water. How many waves are there? Innumerable. Isn't it? It's called with upadhi, many. Without forms, one. Similarly here, with upadhi, atma seems to be moving. Without upadhi, atma is of the nature of motionlessness. Nirupadhikena svena rupena, by its own nature, without the upadhi, uchyate, it is said, anejat, unmoving, ekam iti. Now, look at this. What is upadhi? Question is there? What is upadhi? You must have heard, must be knowing. Let me, for my satisfaction, let me make it clear. Upadhi. What is upadhi? Upadhi, if you take it, the two words, two components, upa plus adhihi. Upa means near. You already know, you have understood the word from Upanishad. Upa means near. Adhihi means that which falsely transfers its attributes. Seemingly, that which transfers its attributes seemingly falsely to another thing in its proximity. Which is in its proximity. So, upa means samipe sthitva. Samipe sthitva sviyan dharman adhatte. Samipe sthitva sviyan dharman adhatte iti upadhihi. Would you mind getting it at a green apple or orange? Yeah. Something. Green or orange or apple, yeah. Dhanyavada, huh? Thank you very much. It is covered. Samipe sthitva. Upa means what? Samipe, near. in closest inseparably or separably in closest proximity, remaining in closest proximity, that which throws its attributes, isn't it? Samipe sitva sviyan dharman adhate iti upadhi. Now, this is the example, okay? In traditional example, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions crystal, spatikam, and japa kusumam. You know, this original hibiscus, I saw many flowers here. Japa kusumam means hibiscus, red in color, and a crystal, isn't it? If it is kept near that, what happens? The crystal is crystal clear, but the crystal, colorless crystal, looks red. Now what happens? That which transfers its attributes falsely, not really, is upadhi. And that upon which the attributes are seemingly transferred is upahitam. Upadhihi upahitam. Now, this glass is what? Clear. No, it doesn't have color of its own. Now, it is there. Now, what is upahitam? Now, the glass here, outside it looks green. Let's look at green tumbler. It's a green glass. Is it green? No. But looks green. It has transferred. But this apple, green color of this apple has been falsely transferred to this glass. Because it makes it look green. Glass has not become really green. Glass is untouched. But still, it has the capacity to make it look green. It is upadhi for this. And this is upahitam. So, really it is not. But it looks seemingly. Really, it cannot transfer. So here, do we need to really rub this glass? To remove the green color, you don't need to rub it. Because there is no real green color. So they remove this apple away to know it is not green, not necessary. Even if it is there, I can understand this green color is only falsely transferred color. It belongs to the apple, doesn't belong to this. It really does not become green. But it looks green. Is it clear? Like that, it's called upadhihi. So definition is very clear. Samipe sitva sviyan dharman adhatte iti upadhihi. So that upon which the dharmas are transferred is called upahitam. So mind is upadhihi. Atma is upahitam. Atma is upahitam, mind is upadhi. Now mind has its own dharmas. The dharmas of the mind are falsely transferred, superimposed upon Atma. Atma, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, one, isn't it? And this Atma is ever pure. But impurities of the mind are falsely superimposed upon the Atma. He said here, Manasaha, read the Bhashyam now. Manasaha. Manasaha is the original word. And Shankara Bhagavatpada says, Antahkaranasya. Antahkaranasya sankalpa vikalpa lakshanasya upadhehe anuvartanat. So anuvartanat means what? Due to the the false or seeming transference, not real transference, seeming false transference of anuvartanam implies false transference, seeming transference. So because of the seeming false transference of the dharmas of the mind upon the Atma, mind is the upadhi, Atma is upahitam. Now next, iha dehasthasya manasah. Before I go there, I want to tell you this. Now, raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, moha, mada, matsarya, bhaya. Isn't it? Anger, hatred, all these emotions. What are they? They're all part of the mind. They belong to the mind. Because all these emotions, impurities rise in the form of thoughts. It is not part of this bhashyam. I'm adding it just to make it very clear. How at this manodharmaha, attributes of the mind are superimposed upon the Atma. I is Atma, the consciousness which is free from impurities, untainted by impurities. But impurities are what? What are the impurities? What do you call impurity? Okay, really speaking, it's the natural emotions which are surface of your subconscious. So likes and dislikes, fear, anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, isn't it? Confusion. That all these are attributes belonging to the mind, manodharmaha, manasika dharmaha. And these dharmas are falsely transferred, means superimposed upon Atma. Why? Because of the closest proximity of mind and Atma. If this fruit was there, this then become green. Is it? Upa samipe sitva. Because Atma and mind are inseparable. Isn't it? So here also is mind. Mind cannot be physically separated. Atma cannot be physically distanced. But still it is distinct. But what happens? These dharmas of the attributes of mind becomes superimposed upon Atma. Like that, now another attribute of mind is that, what is that? Moving out, spreading, no, covering, spreading upon the object and illumining it. It is said here, dehasthasya manasah. Dehastam manaha. Where is the mind? Mind is antakaranam, is inside the physical body, not outside the body. Okay, mind is inside the physical body. Dehastaha, dehastam manaha, dehastasya manasaha. Now visit after me, brahmalokadi duragamanam sankalpena kshana matrat bhavati. Now Shankaracharya himself wants to first of all talk about how mind is fast. You have to understand how mind is fast. Mind has speed. Mind means mind travels, mind moves. That is why death is possible. If mind also doesn't move like this, body will never become dead. Mind has to move. Mind travels. Atma doesn't travel. Understand? Now who goes now? Something happens, who goes? Mind alone travels. So he says, దేహస్థస్య మనసః బ్రహ్మలోకాదిగమనం సంకల్పేన క్షణ మాత్రాత్ భవతి. This mind which is inside the physical body, for this mind, going up to even the Brahma Loka happens, is possible for the mind to travel up to the even Brahma Loka, not local, anywhere in this world. Also is possible, how Kshana Matra, within no time, within fraction of second, within no time, Kshana means, this is Kshana. This is called Kshana. Okay? Fraction of second. So Kshana Matrati within no time, within a second, within no time, Sankalpena, just by thinking, mind can go travel any distance. So Brahmalokadigamanam Sankalpena Kshana Matrati Bhavadi. It happens for the mind. Dehastasya Manasaha Bhavati Gamanam Bhavati. It is possible for the mind to move like that. Manasaha javishthatvam loke prasiddham. Are you reading after me? Manasaha javishthatvam loke prasiddham. Anybody wants to read after me, Bhashan? Okay. Manasaha javishthatvam loke prasiddham. So in this world, it is very well known. This fact is very well known fact. What? The fastness, no, swiftness of the mind is very well known fact in the world. Javishthatvam is what? Mind being the fastest in its movement in the world is very well known. Prasiddham, very well known. Mind is the fastest of all that which move. Mind is the fastest. Javishtham, manasaha javishthatvam, mind having the status of being the fastest in movement is well known in the world. Okay. Tasmin manasi brahmalokadin drutam gacchati sati prathamam praptahaiva atmachaitanya avabhasah grihyate. See what it says. Tasmin brahmalokadin drutam gacchati sati manasi gacchati sati. So it's called sati saptami in Sanskrit grammar. When the mind moves towards any place, anything, any object, like brahmalokadin, such as Brahma Loka, towards any object or any place, wherever the mind moves towards any object, Pratamam Praptaha Iva, the Atma is already, as though already has gone first, before the mind comes. Pratamam Praptaha Iva, Iva means what? As though Atma has already gone there first. Pratamam Praptaha Iva, Atma Chaitanya Avabhasaha Grihyate. Avabhasaha means manifestation of consciousness. Okay? Atma Chaitanya Avabhasaha, manifestation of consciousness happens wherever the mind moves, wherever the thoughts move, whichever object the thoughts go, already consciousness is there manifesting itself in the mind. Okay? See, mind is the manifesting medium. What I'm saying, mind is very subtle. It is capable of manifesting consciousness. Okay? It's like saying, see, wall is also earthen product. Mirror also is earthen product, but mirror is capable of reflecting your face because of its transparency. Whereas wall, if you go and stand in front of wall, you can't see any reflection. It doesn't have the capacity to reflect your face. Similarly, even though mind is also subtle material product, because of its subtleness, it is capable of having the manifestation of consciousness. So wherever the thought goes, because consciousness is all pervasive, wherever the thought goes, there manifestation happens. Okay? Therefore it looks as though Atma moves. What moves is the mind. What moves is the thoughts. Wherever the thought goes, there is manifestation of consciousness. So movement belongs to the mind. Movement is manasik, manasaha, dharmaha, attribute of the mind, attribute of the thoughts which form the mind. But it is superimposed upon Atma because of the close proximity. It because of its proximity, closeness. Is it clear? Atma seems to be traveling. Seems to be moving. So this moving attribute of the mind is falsely transferred to the unmoving Atma. Therefore, Atma is upahitam Atma Chaitanya Tattvam, mind is upadhi. With the mind upadhi, Atma seems to be moving. Without the mind upadhi, Atma by itself is of the nature of motionlessness. Atma is unmoving. So clear? Very clear. Must be very clear. So, tasmin manasi brahmalokadin drutam gacchati sati prathamam praptaha iva atma chaitanya avabhasaha atma chaitanya avabhasaha grihyate prathamam praptaha iva ataha. Now the reason he gives, whenever ataha comes, he has already established. Okay, so don't have any confusion. There is no contradiction. Atma is nirupadhikataya, nirupadhika drishya. Without associating Atma with his upadhi, Atma is ever of the nature of motionlessness. With the upadhi also, Atma does not move, but Atma seems to be moving. Therefore, ataha, therefore, manasaha javiyaha ityaha. Therefore, the javiyaha, mean what? This movement of the mind is said, mentioned here. It is, Atma is said to be faster than the mind. Manasaha javiyaha iti aha. Therefore, it was said in the verse, Atma is faster than the mind. So what is the last lesson you have to get here? Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Sarva gatattvam is brought here. In fact, I have an itching to tell you the process of knowledge. How does knowledge take place? How do the way thoughts move out? Now, I want to tell, but I keep it for Kena Upanishad. Okay, there I have to do that. Process of knowledge. Okay? Lot of technical terms also I have to tell you there. Okay. So this Mana Upadhihi Sva Java Vatva dharmam anejamane atmani adhatte. Upahite atmani adhatte. Okay. Next we go to, now the first part of the mantra is over. One quarter of the mantra is over. Okay. Anejat is over. Ekam is over. Manasaha javiyaha, faster than mind. Atma is faster than mind is over. But remember, at nirupadhika drishtya sopadhika drishtya. With upadhi, without upadhi, how atma is. I'm going to explain very well. Now next one. Nainate devaha apnuvan. Yesterday already I have explained. Now I'm reading the Bhashyam. Nainat devaha. See, devaha. It's just a humble question here. I already said devaha means effulgent light, and here devaha does not mean the light, but devaha here means sense organ, I said. But still I want to tell one more thing here. Devaha or devata. Devaha is a masculine gender word. Devata is a feminine gender word. Okay. Any natural phenomenon also is looked upon as devata in Vedic tradition, Vedic culture. See, nothing is looked upon as a bundle of inert energy. Okay, a physicist can look at simply everything as a mere bundle of energy, whereas Vedantin looks at everything as devata or devaha. What does this mean? Devata means illumination of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. This is another way of looking at it. What is this tree? What is this metal? What is this? No, non-living thing or a living thing? Mobile or immobile, charam, acharam, chetanam, achetanam, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Sentient, insentient, animate, inanimate, everything is manifestation of consciousness, illumination of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. When you look at it that way, you can call it what? Devata. So every natural phenomenon here is devata. Once you look at it as devata, you have reverence towards everything, respect for everything. Look at it as Bhagavan. All the devatas put together is what? Ishwaraha. All the devatas put together is Ishwaraha, the Lord. So devata is fraction. Ishwaraha is total. The whole is manifestation of knowledge. Everything always manifestation of knowledge. Illumination of consciousness. When you have that reverence, you look at everything as devata or devaha. That is different. Now we come to this word here. Okay, devaha here means sense organs. I already told. Every word is different in this Upanishad. Yes, Dyotanat. Dyotanat. Devaha. See, why they are sense organs, why they are called Devaha here? Why not Indriyani? Indriyani, Jnana Indriyani. Indriyani alone are known as Devaha here because of their nature of the, because the function of illumining. Dyotate. Dyotayati. Dyotate shines. Dyotanat. Because they illumine. Dyotanat devaha. And what are they? It's not our meaning. Chakshuradini. Chakshuradini indriyani. Chakshuradini Indriyani. What are Devaha? Devas are none other than here, Indriyani, sense organs such as seeing power, etc. Indriyani, Yetat, Prakritam, Atmatattvam, Na Apnuvan. What does it mean? This Atmatattvam, which we try to understand now, which is now being discussed at present, Prakritam, which is under discussion at present now, that Atmatattvam, this Indriyani na apnuvan. Indriyani do not reach them. Na apnuvan, did not reach them. The verb is in past tense, if you take it as present tense verb. Do not reach them. It means sense organs can never reach the Atma, they never illumine the Atma, because sense or Atma is not object of sense perception. Why? What is the reason? Reason is given here. Tebhyaha manaha javiyaha. See, what is faster than sense organs? Mind. Manaha tesha tebhyaha javiyaha. When compared to sense organs, mind is faster. Why mind is said to be faster than sense organs? Because sense organs themselves are of the nature of inertness. Seeing power is an inert power. Hearing power is an inert power. Every power is of the nature of inertness. But all these powers, they have to become conscious, sentient. No, first of all, the power should enjoy their existence. They must have existence. Powers for their existence, they are dependent on mind. Powers for them to become conscious, sentient, they are dependent on the mind. And thereby to become functional, they depend on mind. So this power, this all these sense powers are connected, isn't it? They are dependent on mind, because mind alone, mind also is of the nature of inertness by itself. And how does the mind has to be functional? It has to come in contact with the external world to experience the world through the sense organs. Mind has to become conscious first, sentient, for which mind is dependent on Atma. Okay, the conscious, mind, when the manifestation of consciousness happens, the mind, the part of the mind, mind becomes conscious, sentient, functional mind. When the mind is functional, conscious, sentient, and this conscious mind is capable of lending sentiency, consciousness to sense organs. Okay, the mind, four sense organs do not have direct access to the Atma. Even though, they are dependent on the mind. Therefore, mind alone, Atma Tattvam blesses the mind. And mind blesses the sense organs. And the world shines being blessed by the sense organs. Okay? The world is dependent on the blessing of sense organs. Sense organs are dependent on the blessing of the mind. Mind is dependent on Atma Tattvam for its blessing. For its existence, for becoming conscious, sentient, and be functional. Okay. When the mind, when the sense organs are dependent on mind, how when the mind itself cannot reach Atma, how can sense organs reveal Atma? Okay? Simple thing, simple teaching is what? Atma is not object of perception, because Atma is very Swarupam of the perceiver. Atma is not an object of thought, but Atma is the very truth of the thinker I. Okay. See the next sentence now. Tebhyaha manaha javiyaha. Manovyapara vyavahitatvad. Manovyapara vyavahitatvad. Manovyapara vyavahitatvad means it is mind is in between the sense organs and the Atma. Again, Abhasa Matramapi Atmanaha Naiva Devanam Vishayi Bhavati. Not only Atma does not, Atma cannot become the object of sense perception, even the manifest knowledge also cannot be the object of perception. You know, not only the pure knowledge Atma, even the manifest knowledge also. What is mind? The knowledge has to take place first in our thought. Only then sense organs can become functional. Let me tell, make it very clear. Always have to think of this deep sleep state. Okay? When you do fast asleep, when you are fast asleep, there is no knowledge of existence of the self. You do not know you are. Isn't it true? Why there is no knowledge? There is source of knowledge as pure knowledge, pure consciousness implied by the term Atma is. Pure knowledge is. But what is not there? Manifest knowledge is not there. Okay? Please listen. The reality which is of the nature of knowledge, knowing, the pure consciousness implied by the term Atma is always there. The source of knowledge is there. But what is not there in sleep is manifestation of knowledge. Manifest knowledge is not there. When you say, I do not know I am, okay, what mean not knowing your own existence is, there is no knowledge of your existence means there is no manifestation of knowledge. Why there is no manifestation? Because the thought has not risen. The thought is resolved. The thought comes, manifestation will be there. Thought resolves, manifestation goes. Atma doesn't go. Atma is always there. It is like your face. Example, don't stretch the example again. If you bring the mirror in front of you, reflection of your face. Mirror is taken away, what happens to your face? Face is same. What goes? Reflection. Mirror comes, reflection is back. Mirror is taken away, reflection goes. Don't stretch the examples too much, okay? Just leave it. And the thoughts rise, there is manifestation of knowledge. Thoughts resolve, pure knowledge. Mirror comes, original. Mirror comes, original face with reflection of the face. Mirror goes, original face alone is there, no reflection. Like thoughts come, there's manifestation of knowledge. Thoughts go, pure knowledge, original knowledge. Thoughts come, manifestation of knowledge. Thoughts go, pure knowledge. When the thoughts come, there is manifestation of knowledge. And the knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining in the form of thought, in terms of I am, is what first and the foremost of the thoughts, which should rise first. Then it is called waking state. When thought comes, it is waking state. Thought resolves, deep sleep state. Then all the thoughts come. Any other thought is possible. The knowledge of the existence of the world is. Anything is possible only when there is knowledge of existence of your own self. Isn't it true? Who can say, no, no, I did not know I was there, not, but the world was there for me. Can you say that? No, it's not possible. Is it clear? Therefore, thoughts should rise for the knowledge to become manifest. Only when the knowledge is manifest, mind becomes functional, sentient and conscious. And mind becomes functional, conscious and sentient, then sense powers also become conscious, sentient and functional. That is why whenever the thoughts resolve, there is source of knowledge is there, but manifestation of knowledge is not there. And there is no manifestation of knowledge, mind is non-functional, sense powers also resolve. Then no perception takes place, no knowledge takes place, and the object of knowledge also disappears. It is called a blessing. Understand? I told the word blessing. If we imagine without the Atma, even the thoughts, can thoughts rise first of all? Without the Atma, thoughts cannot even rise. Thoughts cannot even enjoy their existence. And where is the question of becoming manifesting medium? Is it clear? Therefore, what I want to say, so even the sense organs cannot even perceive the manifest knowledge. Where is the question of perceiving the pure knowledge? Is it clear now? Very important lesson. He says, Abhasa matramapi atmanaha devanam na vishayi bhavati naiva vishayi bhavati. Even manifest knowledge cannot become object of perception. How can pure knowledge become the object of perception? Hope you understood. If you have not understood, I will not go ahead. It must become clear right now. What is the point in simply rushing? Clarity is important. The whole effort is for clarity, isn't it? If you do not know you are, how can you see? Simple example. If you do not know you are, then can you see? In sleep, do you see? Why you don't see? In sleep, do you hear? Do you smell? Do you taste? If somebody comes and puts a laddu in your mouth, pushes. Shivaratri Prasad, lot of leftover. I'll push and finish it. All people sleeping, not eating, push it. You will be doing fast asleep. If you are awake, you would have run, jumped for it. Give me, I want 2, 3. But now because you are fast asleep, somebody pushes into you, still you are not tasting. Why? Tongue does not taste the sweetness. Okay? No tasting, object is not perceived. See, the external objects cannot be perceived. Sense organs cannot be functional. Why? What presupposes the functioning of sense organs presupposes manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am, for which thoughts must rise. Is it clear? So, without the manifestation of knowledge, sense organs cannot function. But it means the sense organs are dependent on manifestation of knowledge. How can manifest knowledge become the object of perception? The sense organs have to perceive, they must be functional. For them to be functional, there must be manifestation of knowledge. So, how can sense organs perceive the manifest knowledge when they are dependent on the manifestation of knowledge for their very life, for being functional. Therefore, what is made clear is leave alone the pure knowledge. Even the manifest knowledge cannot be object of perception. What? Shankara Bhagavatpada, amazing. How much he clarifies this. Look at this sentence. Abhasa. Abhasa means manifestation. Abhasa matramapi atmanaha. Atmanaha abhasa matramapi naiva devanam vishni bhavati. Even manifestation of consciousness cannot become, manifest knowledge cannot become the object of perception. Very clear. Must be clear. Not clear? Okay, we move to next one. Yes, Mart.
Yes, Mart.
Javanan Manasopi. Purva Marshate. Okay. Manasaha javanat purvam arshate. Now he moves on to next word. Purvam arshate. We have finished how many now? Anejate ekam manasaha javiyaha ye devaha enat na apnuvan. Enat means enat atmatattvam na apnuvan. Okay? We moved on from sense organs. Also, next word. Purvam arshate. Every word must be very clear. Purvam arshat. Arshat means reach. Rishati means one meaning of word rishati is janati. That's why we get the word rishihi. Rishati janati iti rishihi. One meaning of the verb is janati. Another meaning of the word rishati is gachati. Arshat means gone. Purvamarshat. What does it mean? Atma, the abstract, subtlest reality obtaining as the essential nature of every being and the innermost nature of every being, implied by the term Atma, obtaining in your pure knowledge, pure consciousness, available for recognition as the Surupam of the Knower, that Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, Purva Marshat, it has it is wherever the mind goes, wherever the sense powers go, already everywhere Atma is. Okay. Purvameva gatam. Vyomavad vyapitvat. Sarvavyapi. Tadatmatattvam. Again, purvam arshat. That word reveals the nature of all reality being all pervasiveness. Sarva gatatvam, being the nature of Atma, is implied, revealed by the word Puram Arshad. It says, Purvameva gatam, it has gone already. It means Vyomavattu Vyapitvat. Vyoma means space. Vyomavattu Vyapitvat. Atma is all pervasive like the space. Vyomavat means like. Vyomavattu, like the space, Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. The Sarvavyapi, Tad Atmatattvam. You know, Tad Atmatattvam. சர்வ சம்சார தர்ம வர்ஜிதம். சர்வ சம்சார தர்ம வர்ஜிதம், தட் ஆத்மா இஸ் ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் ஆல் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் நோ சம் ஃபீச்சர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சம்சாரா. Free from all forms of characteristics of samsara. How it is said, svena nirupadhikena, nirupadhikena swarupena avikriyameva sat. Even though atma is of the nature of, atma is of the nature of changelessness, avikriyamanam avikriyameva, without the upadis, we see atma is of the nature of changelessness, svena rupena. But still, upadhi krutaha sarvaha samsara vikriyaha anubhavati iva. Upadhi krutaha samsara vikriyaha, all these characteristic features of samsara, as though atma is going through the samsara's problems. Anubhavati iva. Atma does not have any problem. Atma is unafflicted, atma is untainted, untouched. But still, atma, even though by its own nature, it's a nature of untaintedness. But still, upadhi krutaha dharmaha. Just as this green color, now, has been falsely transferred to this glass and makes the glass look green even though it has not made the glass green. The green color of the apple has not made the glass green, but it makes the glass look green. Similarly here, samsara dharmaha, you know, birth, death, etc. of the body, old age, disease, etc. are the features belonging to the body, then pain, pleasure, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear belonging to the mind, the blindness, deafness, etc. belonging to sense organs, hunger, appetite, thirst, etc. belonging to the pranas. See, all the samsara dharmaha, all the attributes, all the characteristics belonging to the anatma, and samsara, etc., they're all atma is falsely transferred to the atma. As though atma is suffering, atma, as though atma is going through samsara. It seems, what makes it look like that? Upadhi krita. It's all, it is the upadhi. Here, apple is upadhi. What is upadhi there? Mind is upadhi, sense organs are upadhis, pranas are upadhi, organs of actions are upadhis, physical body is upadhi. Upadhi kritaha sarvaha samsara vikriyaha. All forms of samsara, the characteristic features of samsara belonging to upadhis, seemingly falsely transferred to the Atma. Therefore, Atma seems to be going through samsara. Atma actually is ever free. Nitya Muktaha. So, Nitya Muktatvam is revealed here. Atma is ever free, never bound. Anubhavati, but for whom, even though Atma does not go through any samsara, but for whom does Atma seem to be going through samsara? It is said here, avivekinam modhanam. avivekina modhana, people who are indiscriminate, who are ignorant of the Atma, who do not have the discriminative understanding of what is upahitam and upadhi. When you see this, you can't physically, don't need to physically separate them, but still you can have discriminative understanding of upahitam and upadhi. Upadhi and upahitam. Isn't it? So, lack of discriminative understanding of upahitam and upadhi makes a person aviveki. And such avivekinaha, in people who are not discriminate, indiscriminate people, they are mudaha, deluded. Delusion means what? They do not have a lack of discriminate. Discriminative understanding. Deluded people, they mistake the upahitam to be contaminated, polluted. Mudanam, anekamiva. Atma appears to be many. Anekam iva. Prati deham pratyavabhasate. Every body, when you see every individual body, you think there is Atma. Atmas are many. Iti etadaha. Therefore, it is made very clear. Atma is ever one. There is a tarkikaha, logician. The tarkikaha, another school of thought. For them, Atmas are many. And Shankaracharya likes how to refute them. Ekam has to bring ekam to say Atmas are not many. Okay, we'll come back. Okay? I can talk, but you go above the head. Is it clear now? Very clear. No questions?
The senses cannot even perceive the manifested knowledge.
If you understand what is manifestation of knowledge, then you can understand why, how sense organs cannot perceive even manifest knowledge. Anyway, first of all, let me make it clear. There must be source of knowledge, only then manifestation of knowledge is possible, isn't it? If the real face itself is not here, how can the reflection of the face on the mirror? If there is no water, how can the wave rise? The source of wave must be already there for the waves to rise. Similarly, there must be source of knowledge for the knowledge to rise. Knowledge rise means what? Knowledge to become manifest. Let me make it very clear. So the source of knowledge is the reality, sattvastu reality, absolute reality. And this reality is of the nature of knowing, therefore implied by the term jnanam, chaitanyam, chit. It is also implied by the term atma. So atma, which is of the nature of knowing, is already always there as source of knowledge. But there is this knowledge is there but non-recognizable. knowledge is pure knowledge is non-recognizable, non-interactable, non-transactable. When you're fast asleep, example I give you, always I have to give you only your own experiences. When you're fast asleep, you are there or not? Which means knowledge is. There is knowledge, Atma is in every one of us. Only one Atma is there always. So you are there. But do you know? You are there, but you are not available for transaction. I can't tell a person who is fast asleep, come and get up, cut some apples, offer to Bhagwan. Can I give any instruction to the person who is fast asleep? Why? He is not available for transaction and available for interaction. If a person has to be available for transaction and interaction, he must be up. Is it clear? Similarly, when the knowledge is pure, when there is no manifestation, knowledge is non-recognizable, non-interactable. Because whenever knowledge is non-interactable, non-recognizable, non-transactable, the non-transactability is mistaken for non-existence. Actually, non-transactability, non-interactability should not be mistaken for non-existence. You are not non-existent in sleep. You are non-transactable, but you are not non-existent. Like that, is always pure knowledge. When the pure knowledge is not manifest, knowledge is non-interactable, not available for interaction, transaction. When knowledge is manifest, then knowledge is transactable, recognizable. Pure knowledge is not recognizable. The manifest knowledge is recognizable, interactable. So for the knowledge to be recognizable, to be interactable, transactable, it must become manifest. When does knowledge become manifest? When there is a manifesting medium. What's the manifesting medium? The thoughts. The thought rises, then there is manifestation of knowledge. That is called cognition. When the thought resolves, knowledge is. There is no manifestation. Why do the thoughts rise and resolve? That is the nature of the mind. Nature of thoughts. You cannot explain, describe, picturize, portray thoughts, but understand just the thoughts. Repeat listening will help you understand. You have to understand thought itself in the light of knowledge only. Okay, whenever there is manifestation of knowledge, you understand there is a thought has risen, the manifestation is there. What is the proof? If you know you are, thought has risen, there is manifestation of knowledge. There is self-cognition that you know you are. Only then the world is, the knowledge of the existence of the world is possible. Okay. When the manifestation of knowledge is not there, when the thoughts are resolved, manifestation is not there, okay, mind is non-functional. Mind is impassive. Then, whenever the mind is non-functional, passive, sense powers also remain resolved. sense powers can never function independently without being backed by the mind. Mind has to back up the senses for the senses to be functional. Is it clear? Even in waking state, I tell you. Suppose if I am talking to you, you are sitting in the class and your eye sense organs are wide open. Light is there. I am also big, built, sitting here. Okay? You can very well see me. But the way you are staring at me like this. And sitting here on the stage, I think, oh, look at this, how well she's listening to me. Without it moving her eyes. And I was so pleased with you, I asked her some questions. What happened then? You are staring at me, keeping her eyes wide open. I am also sitting in front of me and talking also not without with the mic, so loud enough, but you are not seeing me, looking at me, no words go into your head, your ears are open, you are not deaf. But what happens? Sense organs do not register anything. Nothing gets registered. Nothing goes into your mind. Nothing enters even my... You do not even know that I am sitting here. You do not even know I am speaking. You do not even know that something is being heard. Words are heard. Nothing gets registered. Sounds are heard. Words are not heard, not registered. I ask you, are you here? What happened? Sorry, my mind was not here. The mind goes elsewhere. Even though sense organs are open, they are not functional. Sound is not heard, form is not seen. Why? They are not closed. The mind does not back up. Mind must be, attention of the mind must be with sense organs. Only then perception can happen, objects can get registered. Okay? That is why be attentive. One of the lessons from childhood, all the parents would have told us, whatever you do, do attentively. We do mechanically, attention goes elsewhere. Be attentive. Every class teachers must have told. I remember my class teacher, mathematics teacher. Come on, be attentive here. Because we will all be going somewhere. She will come back and first thing she will tell us in the class. Be attentive here, come on. Before she gets starts writing on something on the board. We are not attentive. The eyes sense are, if the attention of the mind does not back up the sense organs. Sense organs can be open. Not closed like in sleep, still objects do not get registered. Which means sense organs are dependent on backing of the mind for them to be able to function. So even in waking state. When in deep sleep state, the mind is not functional, totally passive, no vritti. Vritti means thought. No vritti rises. No thought is there. No thought is there means what? Even emotions are all resolved. Desires, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, everything is resolved. No pain, no pleasure, no worry. That's why sleep is Bhagavan has given us every day the rest. Temporary rest. Temporary freedom, moksha. Sleep is temporary moksha. Good sleep. That's why after sleep people come refreshed. That's why it's very good to do puja in the morning, Ganapati Homam, early morning. After good sleep, won't think of Bhagavan, fresh mind. Very good. What I'm saying, all thoughts are resolved. All thoughts are resolved means what? including the thought, including when I thought. There's no thought means there's no manifestation of knowledge. Thoughts should rise for knowledge to become manifest. Okay. Mind must be functional. Only then sense organs can function. When sense organs are dependent on the manifestation of knowledge to become functional, how can they perceive knowledge? The photographer can never be photographed. Who is behind the camera can never be the photographer. Okay? So mind is actually illuminator of sense organs. Mind has the capacity to illumine the sense organs. Because when the mind itself is illumined by Atma. Okay. So the sense organs are dependent on mind to be illumined. How can they illumine the mind? So sense organs which are dependent on mind to become illumined. How can the mind, sense organs illumine the mind? Mind is manifestation of knowledge. The functional mind is manifest knowledge. Non-functional mind, reserved mind is unmanifest. Clear? I have answered the question. Clear? Definitely? If not clear, please do ask me. Is it very definitely clear, isn't it? Okay. Bhojanam, bhojana samayaha. Adhuna bhojana samayaha. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Rubhyo Namaha Hari Om.